there are two forces going against each other. So there's one good force, which is indeed the decline in the price of oil. And for oil importers, which are, you know, most of the big advanced economies, that's definitely good news. You know, it's like a check being given to each consumer with, you know, the right to spend it. So that's good, and it makes a difference to our forecast. Unfortunately, at the same time, there's bad news, which is a weakness, not everywhere in the world, less so in the US, but in many other places of the world, where it looks as if the future is not as bright as we thought. So what we call potential growth has been revised down. And, you know, although this is a statement about the future, it leads to firms looking at a more mediocre future, cutting investment. And this decrease in investment decreases demand and decreases growth today. So you have these two forces. And it turns out that on net, as best as we can guess, the second force is stronger, which is why most countries, not the US again, we have revised our forecast down.
You've described recently the falling oil prices as being a shot in the arm for the global economy. How does that work? And what about those countries that are highly dependent on oil revenues, like Nigeria, Russia? How do falling oil prices affect their economic outlook?
It's not a zero-sum game, but it is clearly bad news for oil exporters. And there you have to look at each country on its own. So some of the oil exporters are very rich. They have accumulated large reserves. They can withstand the price of oil at 40 or 50 for a long time. They may have to cut on spending a bit, but, you know, they can do it slowly. It's tough, but not impossible. But you have countries which depend very much on the price of oil, don't have those reserves, have other problems, and these countries are going to suffer a lot. I mean, you know, if you take the case of Russia, now Russia already had problems earlier, even before Crimea. Then Crimea came and the sanctions and then the oil. And so this is going to be a very tough environment for Russia. You have countries where everything depends on oil, like Nigeria is a country which is going to have a tough adjustment to make. So yes, it is not good news for everybody. And for some, it is definitely bad news, yes.
The update shows lopsided growth, with the United States as the only major economy where growth is better than expected. What differentiates the U.S. from the other advanced economies like the Eurozone or Japan, for example, that's gone into a recession?
So indeed, there is this striking divergence between the U.S. where we're revising up and Euro and Japan where we're revising down. There is a list of explanations, but clearly monetary policy has more room in the U.S. There are more constraints on monetary policy at the European Central Bank. Although they have done a lot, but subject to those constraints. The fiscal situation is worse in many European countries than in the US. The level of debt is high, so they have to have more fiscal consolidation. The state of banks is better, but Europe started repairing its banks a bit later than the US, so there are still problems. The situation of firms in some countries is much worse than in the US. In the US, the firms are, in general, flush with cash. But in a number of European countries, firms have interest payments which are nearly as large or as large as cash flows, so they have a hard time. So you have all these elements. Then you have to kind of go country by country. But this is, I think, the source of the differences. Now, my own belief is that maybe there is a bit more. You know, all these explain, but do they fully explain why the US seems to be doing very well and Europe is not doing well? Maybe there is a bit more which we don't understand. In the case of Japan, it's different. Japan has been in a slump for 20 years. And when you've been in a slump for 20 years and things don't work very well, it's very hard to get people to be more optimistic, to get consumers to spend more, to get firms to spend more. So starting the machine again is tough. And in addition, you know, the problem of Japan is that potential growth, so the growth at which they can hope to grow for a long time, is very, very low, in particular because of the demographics. You know, we think that potential growth in Japan is of the order of 0.5% per year. That's very, very low.